di Baniel. If not, the title of the message today is Nothing Amiss. Nothing Amiss. Now we find the word amiss, at least in the King James Version, four times. The word amiss is found in the King James Version four times. I want to start with that. I'm going to start with the other three places that it's found before we get into what God has laid upon my heart. And clearly, the Lord had to lay this on my heart because I was listening to the Bible, and this one came, pardon the expression, this one came out of left field, you see. So it had to be of the Lord because I couldn't even really focus. I was listening to the book of Samuel, and this came, and the Lord just brought nothing amiss to me, and I thought to myself, well, what do I need to do with that? And then I just tried to forget it, and it won't leave me. And there's a reason why it won't leave me, and I'll try to get to that in just a little while. The first, we find the word amiss two times in the New Testament, and we find it two times in the Old Testament. In the three times that we're going to look at, or not going to look at today, I'll just tell you where they're at. James chapter 4 and verse 3. The word amiss, A-M-I-S-S, is used in that context as to mean evilly or wickedly. So, first thing you think about is why are you gonna preach on nothing wicked or evilly today? Because there's a reason why. And the one that used it, it's going to be very interesting, or at least it is to me. At least I learned some things, and if you can today, that will be great too. Now we go to the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 37. In the context there, the word amiss is to mean to do perversely or perverse. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? And so you're saying, Brother Spurgeon, how are you going to make a nice sermon out of a word that seems to be kind of depressing? And maybe that's what you're thinking. Oh, here comes a depressing message today. Well, let's look at the other place that we find the word amiss, and it's in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 29, and in that context, the word amiss means error or rashness. So you say, Brother Spurgeon, why are you going to preach on that? Keep in mind, the title of the message is Nothing Amiss. Do you want to know who said that? I want to bring you to the place where one man said that. It's found in the book of Luke. Here's where you're going to find the context that we're going to use it. Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, the word amiss is used by a man. If I could set the stage, he's in excruciating pain. He's in excruciating pain when he made the statement, nothing amiss. And the man that he told that to or proclaimed that to, he said, this man has done nothing amiss. That's to put it in the context. The man he's referring to and him both are just minutes away from dying. They're in excruciating pain. And they're talking and having this conversation with one another. And when I get into this conversation, there's another man involved as well, because he's also dying. There's one on the right, one on the left, and then there's Jesus Christ right in the middle. Follow with me as we get into this message. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32 for our reading lesson today. Luke 23 and 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. That's key. Christ, the anointed one, as we mentioned last week in our message last week. And we're going to also refer to some scriptures that we brought out last week, either today or in the future. But he says, the people began to say, let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which hang railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, the anointed one, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him and saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Verse 41, we find the text. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He hath done nothing amiss. This man, Jesus Christ, has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And Jesus, in this excruciating pain, said, verily I say unto thee, that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. As we said just a moment ago, the title of the message is Nothing Amiss. This man has done nothing amiss. I told you what the three definitions were of the word amiss. Do you know what the definition of this word is? It means he has done nothing out of place. He has done nothing out of place. This man that was dying on the cross of Calvary, he heard the people say, if you're the Christ, the anointed one, save yourself. He heard the other thing, the robbers say, if you're really who you say you are, the anointed one, the Messiah, save yourself and save us. But this man, he recognized exactly who Jesus is. And he says, this man has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing out of place. Haven't he come to that conclusion? Haven't this man that's down on the cross of Calvary, how can he in his mind, how can he in the pain and the agony and the misery that he's going to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ has done nothing, absolutely nothing, out of place? Young's Analytical Concordance, if you look at the word amiss, you'll find almost four definitions, and I guess you have that word in the Greek and the Hebrew, and in this one word we find this is the only place that is utilized that he has done nothing out of place. A.G. Robertson said it in this way, in the word pictures of the Bible. He said, this man, Jesus, has done nothing amiss. Literally, it means nothing out of place. What he's saying is this robber does in fact accept the claims of Jesus to be the truth. Jesus is dying for claiming to be. Have you ever thought what he's claiming to be? Have you ever thought about this robber who's telling every one of us, all nations, every kindred, everyone that reads of the Bible, he is making a statement saying, this man has done has nothing out of place. He's done everything in order to acclaim him as the Messiah. That's what he said. A robber that's dying to be the Messiah as he is. That's what A.T. Roberts said. So if we look at the word amiss, it comes from a Greek word, atopos. A-T-O-P-O-S. And Young agrees with Robertson. He said that the word means out of place. So I began to meditate upon that. What does it mean? First of all, this robber recognizes that Jesus has done nothing amiss. And one of the very first things he recognizes is that Jesus Christ is dying for his sins. Did you ever think about that? And not only his sins, but the sins of the whole world. Maybe he heard one day how Peter wrote in his epistle, and I'll get into this a little bit later, but listen to some of the other things. This is what it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by the tradition from your fathers." This is in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. But look at verse 19. Could it be that this man, this robber, came to the conclusion that the man dying right beside him is the Messiah, has put everything in place, including the death of the cross and shedding his blood on Mount Calvary's Hill for the sins of everyone that's ever been born? How could he come to that conclusion? But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. I can see the word manifestation means to make known. And somehow it was clearly made known to this robber, this malefactor, that the man that I'm dying beside has done nothing amiss, worthy of being put to death. In fact, what he has done is he has done nothing out of place. And when I thought about that, I began to think about some things. This man concluded that he has done nothing out of place. And just before Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now listen, as we get ready to go into this message today, the evidence is clear. The evidence has been made clear. Not only in the salvation of my soul, but this robber that's dying on the cross, when he says that he's put everything in the proper place to make him the Messiah. This robber that's dying on the cross, he makes a proclamation that you be renounced to every person, every creed, every tribe in the entire universe. A man that's dying on a cross came to the conclusion and the manifestation that this man has done nothing amiss, nothing out of place. Could he have come to the conclusion of this? Number one, what he's saying is nothing out of place. If you think about the entire life and ministry of Jesus Christ before he hung on the cross, he did absolutely nothing wrong. Number one, do you know that? This man, what he said, he has done nothing out of place. He's not done anything wrong. And yet, here he is dying on the cross for claiming what? Claiming that he is the Son of God. And a robber recognizes it. That's dying on the cross. I just cannot get that through my mind. I cannot get that through my heart. How many people reject Christ? And yet, here is a man that sees there's something different, that he makes a proclamation only one time in the Bible. This man has done nothing amiss. He didn't do anything wrong. Have you ever found anything Jesus did wrong? You that are listening to me today, I'm going to give you seven evidential things today. Seven of them. The first one, he did nothing absolutely wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. In fact, he's righteous. Everything about Jesus Christ is righteousness and right. He did nothing wrong. And yet, he is dying on the cross for your sin and my sin and for the sin
this robber who said, this man has done nothing amiss. In the book of 1 John, I want to turn over there. Read. I'm just going to try to give you one verse of scripture to each one of these claims that I'm going to give forth today. And by the word of God, I pray that I can proclaim these things to show you that Jesus Christ definitely put everything in place to be not only claimed, but I'm going to go on record as right now, He is the Christ, the anointed of God. He is the Messiah. He's the only Messiah that ever has been, ever will be. And that's just it. John said in 1 John 3:7, do you know what he said? He said, little children. And I pray God would help me to speak to we as little children would be able to understand that this robber made a proclamation about Jesus putting everything in His place. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteous is righteous. And John said, even as He is righteous. If He's righteous, then He has done nothing wrong. He has done nothing wrong. And people might say, well, why did God allow this to happen? Why did God allow that to happen? I'll tell you, God has never done anything wrong. Even a robber recognizes He's done nothing amiss. So He put that in His place. You can check that off. Check it off. That's why the robber said that He is the Messiah, because He did nothing wrong. Number two. You know what else? He never sinned. How do you know, preacher? How did He put that in His place? Because it says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we want to notice the verse of Scripture here, but it says in verse 21, He says, for He has made Him to be sin for us. You see, God made this man hanging on the cross to put everything in His place. This is one thing that has to be put in His place. Sin has to be put in its place. And the only way sin can be put in its place, Peter says, that a lamb has to be slain. A perfect lamb. This man, this robber says, this man has done nothing amiss. He never sinned. And the Bible says, for He has made Him to be sin for us. It says, who knew no sin? Does this make Him put sin in His place? Absolutely it does. Why did He do that? That we, you and I, that robber, might be made the righteousness of God in Him and Him alone. There's no other that ever walked on the face of the earth than this man that this robber said, He has done nothing amiss. He's put everything in His place. Number three. Out of all the life of Jesus Christ, out of every man that has walked on the earth, from the very first man, Adam, to the last one that will be taken out of this earth, you will not find any man that has ever lived. And there's some great men in this world. There's some great men of this church. There's some great ladies of this church. There's great people all over the world that have done many wonderful, wonderful things. But none can make the claim of this. He performed out of the realm of all possibilities. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, that's going back, but look what it says. You know what it says about Jesus? It says this. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. He makes the impossible possible. Could the robber who died on the cross and right beside Jesus, he has no possible way of getting down. He has no possible way of going and dying and going into heaven except through the man, Jesus Christ, who's dying right beside him. And when he dies, oh, that would be impossible. You know what else would be impossible? If be impossible for any of those good people that are buried in a grave to come up out of the grave. That's impossible. It's impossible for you and me to die for the sins of another individual. But with Jesus Christ, He is the only one that made it possible.
The robber says, He has done nothing amiss. He has put everything in order. He is the only one that when they said that with God, this is possible. With men, it's impossible. But with Jesus Christ, even the robber says, He has done nothing amiss. Number four.
Could it be that this robber recognized something about this man?
That everything he did, do you know what it was?
It was good.
It was good. Everything that this man who has done nothing amiss, everything that he did, everywhere he went, everyone he met, everything he did, even dying on the cross, it was good. How could it be good for a man to die on the cross? I'll tell you how it could be good for a man to die on the cross. If that man didn't die on that cross, if he wasn't buried, if he didn't rise again, he's the only one that has had the power of a resurrect his own self out of the grave.
With man, that's impossible, but no, not with Jesus. This robber recognized that he hasn't done anything. Everything that he has done, it has been good, good, good.
How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us this. You know where it says it? John 10 and 11. You know why? Even Jesus made this proclamation. It's a very simple verse of Scripture. But you know what it says in John 10 and 11? I love this verse of Scripture. It says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd.
He said, I am a good shepherd. Amen, Jesus. Amen. The robber recognized that. He recognized everything that he did, but was good. He had the power to release the angels and take him from that he was doing for every person. But he didn't do that. That would be a bad situation for all of us. But God, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I will please. He knows that he's going to do everything good.
But he said, I'm the good shepherd. And you know what the good shepherd did? He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Did he give his life for the robber? Oh, sure he did.
And you know what? He gave his life for one robber, the other robber. He didn't get to make preparations before he drew his last breath.
And I say, well, how do you know he did? How do you know he didn't? I'll tell you, everything's good about God. And the fact remains that there's only one person that I'm absolutely, thoroughly convinced is saved by the grace of God, and that's me.
I don't know about anybody else. And that's good. And you know what? If he'll take a robber, a thief on the cross, just before he dies, where does that leave you? Where does that leave me? It tells me that he does everything good and he'll save anybody. If you recognize how bad you are and how sinful you are in the sight of God, he'll save you. And then you'll come to the same conclusion as this thief did. This man has done nothing amiss. Number five. John chapter 7 is where we're going to find this. I told you I had seven. It won't take me long to get through them. These scriptures speak for themselves. If this robber can see that he's done nothing amiss, why can't the world see it? I'll tell you, you say, Brother Spurgeon, what's the use of even preaching this? I'll tell you, the world needs to hear that Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He's it. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the anointed of God. Those that made fun of him said, you know, well, if he can't save himself, he can't save them thieves there on the cross. What good of a Savior is he? Oh, he proved them all wrong 3 days later. You know that? He come up out of the grave and they were shaken to the core. And when he come up out of the grave, there was others that came out of the grave. I'm going to tell you, that's power. That's awesome power. And because of that awesome power, you know why he did it? Do you think he did it for his own glory? He did not. He did it for the glory of his Father.
You say, how do you know that, Brother Spurgeon?
Because that's what it tells us in the 7th chapter of the book of John. Let's look there for just a moment. John 7 and 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. And I'm going to tell you, he's taught me a lesson today. He's taught me multiple lessons today. And he teaches me lessons every day. He's teaching me a lesson here. If it benefits anybody, to God be the glory. Not that I would receive any glory, but that he would receive it all. Because even Jesus died on the cross. He is telling everyone, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it to please my Father. And did it please the Father? Oh, it's still, it's fresh on his memory. 2,000 years. 2,000 years later. And I believe with all of my heart that the sound of that robber there on the cross is saying, this man has done nothing amiss. And this is what Jesus said. He said, my doctrine is not mine. He said, but he that sent me. Here, he says, if any man will do his will, and that's all I want to do, that's all I want to teach, if we will all do the will of God, just like Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That's so much so, and I'm going to keep repeating it, so that we get it in our minds and in our hearts, that this man put everything in its place. He set it in place. And we sang a song, even as little kids. I shall not be moved. Just like an anchor or whatever it is. I can't remember the rest of that song. What is it? A tree planted by the water. As a thing, it will not be moved. Why? Even a robber says, because he put it all in place. He put it in place. God, he was pleased with it. And Jesus didn't do it to get his glory and his honor, but to honor his Father. He said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of this doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You put a star beside verse 18. He says, he that speaketh of himself speaketh his own glory. He says, but he that seeketh his glory, that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. You see, he gave glory and honor to God, who allowed him to leave his throne of grace and mercy, and to come down here and offer himself, so that even a robber would look at him and say that you have done nothing amiss. You have put everything in its place. It's going to get better. Number 6. That was number 5. Everything for the glory of God. That's what he did. Even a thief can recognize that. One thief didn't. One thief did. And this old beggar did too. I don't know about you, but I recognize that Jesus put it all in place. John the Revelator said this one day. The 6th point that I want to make. That when Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, you know what he did? He became the conqueror. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. So much so that there were 7 seals in heaven. John said, there's nobody to open up those seals. And there's an angel that says, we've not. For there is one that has prevailed. This robber understood, even though this man is bleeding and dying and agonizing, that there's something different about this man. He didn't see front lines. He didn't see all the spectacular things of what he witnessed, of what people mocking him. They were saying, if you are the Christ, come down. If you say you're God's son, come down. Even the thief on the right said, if you're Christ, save yourself and us. But this man, he says, he didn't do anything to deserve it. And even though he's on the cross dying for my sins, he became a conqueror.
John the Revelator he saw. He saw a man on a white horse. This is after all this took place. Could you just imagine that day seen in glory and witnessing what John witnessed? This man on a white horse. In the sixth chapter, I believe it is, in the book of Revelation, the first few verses, you know what it says? He says, and I saw. You know what he saw? Tell us what you saw, John. He says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. He said, I heard something. He said, I heard. He wants you here, John. He said, I heard as it were as the noise of thunder. So I don't know how it was when you got saved. I didn't hear thunder, but I felt a sweet peace come over my heart and how peaceful it would be for the Son of God, after you had proclaimed Him to be the Messiah and say He's put everything in order. And then He said, and turned to you and said, today, you will be the You will be with me in paradise. But John heard a big thunder. You ever heard a thunder get your attention? George just rattles the walls. It's got John's attention. It's got my attention. And I hope it has your attention. And I hope it has the attention of every human being that ever walked on the face of the earth. Because you know what the attention was? He said, one of the four beasts said, come and see. Take a closer look. And that's what God's allowed me to do today. Take a closer look at the little details. And sometimes I preach on this subject many times, and I preach about how that He went to the paradise with the Lord and how He died for us. And the other ones, I probably didn't make it. But here, we see that the most important word to that robber was, He's done nothing amiss. So therefore, what He's saying is the Messiah, and He is the conqueror. He's more than a conqueror that loved us. He said, and I saw. And He said, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. A crown was given to him. Why? Because he's worthy. He's put everything in his place. He's the only one worthy to receive those crowns of glory and honor and praise. You ever praise God in agony? Do you ever praise God when you feel the most awful, awful in your life, and so depressed and so agonized by the things of this world, and then you just call out to God, and there's a sweet peace that comes over, to the where all your troubles roll away. Yeah, man, all your troubles just roll away. And Jesus takes you up into His arms. You know why He can do that? Because He's a conqueror. Yes, the conqueror is the one that put everything in its place. He has put everything in its place. That's what the robber is saying. Jesus Christ is more than a conqueror. He says He gave Him a crown given to Him, and He went forth conquering. And He says not only conquering, but and to conquer. He's not conquering everything on the cross. I'm not only everything on the cross. He's a conquered everything on the cross, everything before the cross, everything after the cross, and everything that's coming in the future. He is the conqueror. Jesus Christ. You mean you got that out of the robber? Absolutely. It's what he said. The robber said that he has put everything in its place. So he's done nothing amiss. I challenge every person here and every person that listens to this to see if you can find anything that Jesus did wrong. I challenge you to do that. Even Pilate said, you know what he said? You know what Pilate said? He said, I find no fault in him. If Pilate can't find fault in him, if the robbers can't find fault in him, I certainly can't find any fault in him.
And I don't believe you can either. Number seven, and finally this, and this may be one of the most important things. He said he's a conqueror. Not only is he conquering, but he's a conqueror. And what does that tell me? It means that he's going to keep everything in order. He put it in its place. It's set. It will not be changed. Cannot be changed. Praise God! It can't be changed. But he did it right. He offered his blood one time for a sacrifice, and that is still the deal in all eternity. And one day after a while, I look forward, and because of him keeping my soul, because he kept his promise, because he kept everything for the Father's use, can he even pray? And we said that prayer last week in the 17th chapter of the book of John. I want to turn, and I'm not going to read all like I did last week, but there is something I want to tell you again from the prayer of Jesus Christ before we close today, and that is, he's the keeper of all. And he's never lost anything or anyone. You say you done stepped over the line. No, that's what the robber saw. How would you like to just be told? Oh, well, you know what? You're going to be with me in paradise today, but first of all, they're going to have to take you down and baptize you. It don't hold water. That doesn't work. That thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise? Why? Because the old robber said, he's done nothing amiss. In that prayer in closing today, oh, there's so much here. So much here. And maybe, it will cause all of us to just, this is just seven things. I believe there's seven times 70 things, really, more that I can convey today of the things that Jesus put in place. And maybe that's what just think about that statement that robber made. He has done nothing amiss. He put everything in place. Even before he went away, he put the church in place. That's another whole series of messages. He put the apostles in place. He put this in place. He did everything just like God did him do. And he was at the will of the Father, and he pleased the Father. And he still is. But listen to what he said in his prayer. Verse 12. He said, while I was with them in the world, I wonder if he thought about that when he looked over at that thief and said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. You know what else he could have said? We're getting ready to get out of this world.
You know what he didn't say? He didn't say, you deserve to die because you're a thief. You're a robber. You're a murderer. You caused a lot of problems. The time you were in the world, he didn't hold that against him. You know what he said? Today, thou will be with me in paradise. Did he ever say that to you? Hey! I remember when I was that lost sinner, and he said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. If I'd have died right then, that's exactly where I'd have been. If I die today, that's exactly where I'll be. If I die tomorrow, that's where I'm going to be. And Jesus keeps his promises. Even the old thief on the cross recognized that. Listen to what he said. While I was in the world with them, I kept them in my name. Thy name. Your name. Our name. That's what he's saying. I've kept you in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Even the robber on the cross. He's not lost. I don't know if you've ever thought about your first day in heaven. I had a lot of times. And I think, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. One of the things on my bucket list. You got a bucket list? Everybody got a bucket list of heaven.
Y'all have one. Faith is just one thing when you get to heaven. Some of you may say, like, Beth there, I'm not going to need that gift there. I'm just going to skip all over glory land. Wrapping my hands all around the throne of God. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to sing louder than Brother Ron. Maybe you're one of those. I just can't wait to get there. Maybe you got all the energy in the world. But if you want to get there, and when you get there, all you can do is just be in awe. You ever seen that movie? Heard that song? Can only imagine. Oh, if you don't have that bucket list, put that in your bucket list too. Go see that movie. Go see that movie about I Can Only Imagine. I highly recommend it. You won't find one curse word in it. You won't find anything wrong. But what you're going to find is you're going to find God working in the lives of individuals. And that's exactly what He does. And that's what He did to the robber on the cross. That's what He did to me. But when I get to heaven, I don't know what I'm going to do. But one of these things I'm going to do is I'm going to go over and I'm going to say thank you to that robber because of the words you said that this man has done nothing. So when we leave this world, we have a promise that He kept us. He said there's only going to be one lost, the son of perdition. That the Scripture might be fulfilled. And Jesus said, and now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I don't want to apologize, but I've just been so happy today. Happy! He's saying everything's going for you, Brother Ron. No, it's not. But I'm happy. There's things that happened at 5 o'clock this morning. There were things that happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife doesn't even know what happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had to give up. I had to get up out of bed. I had to sit up. I didn't sleep very good last night. Now, you listen to her, she'll say, well, you were snoring pretty good when I heard him. But I get up and I'm happy and I'm joyful. Why? Because I realize wholeheartedly that Jesus, whether a robber said it or not, He's right. Jesus put everything in its place. And He's going to keep it. And in his prayer, this is what he said. And now I come to thee, and these I speak in the world that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. Maybe you're not happy today, but I sure am. I'm sorry about what you're going through. But if you focus on what the robber focused on, I believe it'll bring a smile to your face. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He said, I have given them thy word. That ought to make you happy. How in the world can you preach this long on a robber on the cross of telling just a few words? I'll tell you how I can, because I can relate to the robber. He said, the world hated them, and it hates me too. There's people in the world that, if you were a robber, you sure wouldn't want me to be talking about you, would you? Not unless I was talking about you in this light. Oh, Jesus can take care of it all. Let's read the rest of this. He says, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You know how he could do that? He put everything in its place, including the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From a man that's on the cross of Calvary, by the cross of Calvary, and on the cross of Calvary, who made just this simple statement that had an impact on the world and the world's economy. And all he said was, this man has done nothing against. What's he saying? The interpretation is, he has put everything on or he will not let anything out of place. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the shepherd and bishop of my soul. And he's going to keep it. How do I know? Because the Bible says it's sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Until that time, he calls. When that last trump sounds, then you're going to realize that everything that's been said today is the truth. Whether you listen to the robber or whether you listen to the preacher, I say you listen to the Holy Spirit. You listen to him, he'll confirm in your heart that what the robber got that day is as real as it was for him, and it is as real for me today. And if you got it, you know it's real too. You know why? Because my God is real. I'm going to tell you. Thank you for letting me share what God put in my heart today. Now, it's up to you to pray to him and give him glory and honor. He spoke to your heart today. Cheer yourself along the way and give him glory and honor. It wasn't me. All I did was just try to listen to the Master and convey the little message. Nothing amiss. Thank you, Rosie. Go ahead.
Oh, feel like you need to come and pray? Just come on. Feel like you need to just pray the Lord? Pray the Lord. He doesn't get enough. Boy.
Sorry to say it, but I look forward to seeing my dad. Don't you? See those that's gone on before. Those that helped me along the way, that are around the throne of God. Some of them helped me, and they didn't even know they helped me. F.W. Lambert, F.L. Ray, Howard Taylor, I listened to a message he preached. Calvin Perigo, scared to death of that man. Oh, Brother Vanderpool, I scared him too. Brother Reynolds, many others, they're not there yet, but one day after a while, we'll all have a glad reunion today. Anyone else? Don't even know what time it is today. It may be 4 o'clock for all I know. I've just kind of lost track. I don't know if it's a short sermon, long sermon, or what. And just, I can't hardly hush. Anybody have anything else on your heart?